right. Good afternoon, San Diego. This is Vince Scuncio, the attorney's realtor, coming to you live on ESPN 1700 AM Inside the Law. And today I have two special guests. One is Kathy Sebader with Prospect Mortgage. Thank you, Kathy.
Good to see you. Hey, Vince. Good to see you again.
And I also have Brian Cochran with the law offices of Brian Cochran. Brian, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Brian, you are a family law specialist out of La Mesa, Living Grove area?
Right, La Mesa. That's where my office is. I've been working in family law in San Diego for over 33 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Indeed it is.
So 33 years ago, how many family law attorneys were there in San Diego?
Well, there have always been a lot of attorneys who do family law, but actually who specialize in it, it's a lot smaller. We have about 12,000 attorneys in San Diego, about 2,000 do family law, and probably a couple hundred know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I've talked to a couple that don't, but we'll leave it at that.
So have I.
Well, yeah, you've been on the other side of it. So you are a longtime resident of that area, and your bio says that back in the, when was it that you were mayor of Lemon Grove?
Of 92 through 94.
Really?
I was on the city council from 88 till 94, and then I retired off the council and I ran for Congress unsuccessfully.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, I didn't make it through the primary, so it didn't go too well.
Oh, okay. So it's not like your name got smeared. You didn't make it to the, let's trash the attorney part, right?
Well, it was funny because the day I announced, my Democratic opponent said I was a stealth Republican, and my Republican opponent said I was a liberal tax and spend Democrat. So I guess nobody really knew who I was.
Well, yeah, that'll do you. So so family law, not only your family law, but you're a certified special, I'm sorry, my glasses aren't working, my certified specialist family law. What is that? I mean, because I've talked to a lot of family law attorneys. A lot of people, like you had mentioned, are they could do a little bit of everything. It's kind of like real estate, right? Mortgages. I can do real estate anywhere in California. Doesn't necessarily mean I should.
Well, let me explain how you get there.
Yeah.
First off, obviously, you have to be an attorney. And to become an attorney, you have to go to law school, take state bar, pass a state bar. The specialization program was instituted around 1980, and it originally had like eight specialties. There are a few more now. And you not only have to practice primarily in an area of the law, family law in this case, you have to take a second bar. You have to take a specialization exam, which is another state bar exam up in Los Angeles or San Francisco. Then, in addition, you have to have had a certain number of trials, a certain number of settlements, hearings. I mean, we're talking hundreds of these.
Wow.
And then when you go through all of that, even if you've passed, you have to go through a peer review, which means that your name is circulated to judges in family law in San Diego, in this case, and other certified specialists who give testimony, essentially, that, yes, you are capable, you're in good standing, and you know what you're doing. So it's a real lengthy process. It takes about 18 months to get through the whole process, assuming you pass the test.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, from what I'm obviously not an attorney, but, you know, I hear that the bar is not like an easy, you know, not like an easy exam to take, and then to have to take a second one.
No, it's very difficult. You really, if you can get through that exam, you really not only understand the fundamentals of law, but also family law procedure and the practicality of it, too. Because when I took the specialist exam, there was a question that actually had to do with crossover between Minnesota law and California law, and trying to figure out that interstate, you know, conflict was interesting because obviously I'm not licensed in Minnesota.
Right. It's not like a neighboring state where you'd right. have, you know, reciprocation or something like Arizona or Nevada, I would assume.
Yes.
So
it's a very fulsome exam.
All right. And so how does that, you know, because we're talking the consumer out here. Our listeners are the consumers. And, you know, and if you're a person that's thinking, you know, whether you should be making that decision of filing divorce, when someone's comparing you to, you know, just a family law attorney, how does that specialization help them, you know, compared to somebody who's like, hey, well, I can help you with your divorce?
Well, you can think of it in this way. Anybody who has experience in anything that they're doing, whether it's family law or real estate or anything else, you're going to gain knowledge of the area you're in. But when you're a specialist, you not only take the exam, but you have to have had a lot of experience in the various types of problems you'll face, whether it's child custody, child support, spousal support, domestic violence, division of property, complex litigation. These are all things that you will have had to have already had experience in. And if you're a consumer out there and you're looking at how do I hire an attorney, the best way is to hire somebody you know who has to have had experience. I mean, you wouldn't go to, you know, a dentist if you wanted to have, you know, your bone fixed. You would go to somebody who had experience in the specific area. And by going to a specialist in any of the given areas, other specialists or criminal law and things like that, appellate law, then you know that person has been satisfied to the state bar of California to be an expert. Okay. And that's a tremendous boost up. I mean, I tell people when they hire an attorney, the basis of it is, first off, hire somebody you know is experienced and has an understanding of the law. Then it's to decide whether or not you can work with that person, because it's a very difficult relationship. Most people in family law are going through terrible times in their life, and it doesn't make any difference who you hire. If you can't get along with them, you shouldn't hire them. You should go to somewhere else.
Right.
And we try to make sure that our clients are comfortable with our law office atmosphere and that we're able to communicate with them effectively to get them the best judgments we can.
Yeah, you got a great office. I'm very impressed when I went down there. I was like, "Well, this is legit."
It's very low key. We have our own parking lot. It's very. We try to keep it no stress. You know, we don't want to amp people up any worse than it has to be.
I think you were wearing a cowboy hat when we first met.
Likely not.
Well.
But unless I was in court, I wasn't wearing a suit. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So don't let the suit throw you off.
That's true.
So you've been doing this a long time. You have a lot of history and everything. And you know, you make a good point, is that it's like going to a dentist, right? You use that analogy. You also don't want to be the dentist's first client ever.
That's exactly right.
You know, having somebody that has that much experience has got to be good for your side.
Well, to tell you the truth, I haven't had a case that has come in the office in the last 10 years that I haven't had experience with.
Okay.
Very seldom do I ever see anything that we're not having dealt with before. I mean, you think I've been practicing since 1981. I've gone through dozens and hundreds of judges and hearings, thousands of hearings and trials. And people have similar problems when you talk about family problems, whether it's with your children or with division of property or all that kind of thing. It's repetitive in that sense, but you have to have somebody who understands that there's something more to it. This isn't a car wreck. This isn't a stock trade transaction. This is a very personal thing. We're talking about the most intimate things in people's lives, things that matter, such as their houses, their children, their pensions. All of these things touch their, you know, core, and you have to be able to deal with it not only as an expert, but able to deal with it emotionally and handle their problems.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought Kathy was over there clearing her throat like she's getting ready to unload a question, which is sitting over there stealth on her phone today, which just totally threw off my train of thought.
Well, Vince, one of the things I think when people are going through these kind of situations, how do you, you mentioned that you take care of the emotional and then you take care of whatever it is with the legal stuff like that. If I were going to refer someone to you, right, Brian,
right,
how would I do that?
Well, first off, you can find us easily on the web. We're at www.briancochranlaw.com. We have a website. We also are located on La Mesa Boulevard in La Mesa, and our phone number is 619-461-5000. We're very easy to get a hold of. My paralegal, Nova, is always available to set up an appointment if I happen to be in court. And we also resource things out if we find that your problem is something we can't handle, because some people come to us and they're not ready for a divorce. And sometimes we refer them to domestic violence clinics if they need it, or to a therapist. I often refer to therapists who, if your marriage or your relationship can be saved, we would rather you do that than come to us.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to come back with Brian Cochran with the law offices of Brian Cochran, and Kathy Sebader with Prospect Mortgage. So stick around and we'll be right back. We're back to give law a good name. This is Vince Scuncio with Inside the Law on ESPN 1700, and I'm back with Brian Cochran with Law Offices of Brian Cochran and Kathy Sebader with Prospect Mortgage. You know, one of the things we were talking about at the break, Brian, was some of the challenges that are coming about with the family law. And we're not going to go into your email because I don't want to you know, trash anyone. But you did make some mention, you know, when we were talking earlier about some of the challenges that you're seeing in the family law courts.
Well, let me discuss one that's touches everybody, and that's family court services.
Okay.
Family court services actually began here in San Diego in tough divorce cases in the mid-80s, where a judge was referring the worst custody and visitation issues to a group to try to review them and pass back an opinion. We've gone from a situation where only the hardest cases went for investigation to now where everybody in the state of California has to go to mediation before they can see a judge. That creates a time delay of almost 6 weeks in any custody case. And think
really?
About what that means. Unless there's a child stealing case, if you have a problem, you're going to wait 6 weeks to see a judge because of the backup over at Family Court Services. And everybody goes through the system. Instead of handling just the tough cases, whether it's child stealing or a move-away case or whatever, everybody goes through the same system. Even if it's a difference between I want to pick up a kid at 1 o'clock and you want me to pick him up at 2 o'clock, you all go through a system that is totally overloaded. And unlike a lot of areas in California, such as Los Angeles and Orange County, we are what's called a recommending county, which means that if you go through family court services and you don't reach an agreement of what you're going to have happen for custody and visitation, they're going to write a recommendation. And that recommendation has a lot of clout because that's what the judge is going to read before they even see the file. They're going to see that recommendation. And particularly when you have newer judges who haven't done a lot of family law, they tend to think that that must be the most expert opinion. And that's not necessarily the case. Family court services is a very stilted situation for people to go through. It's basically rolling the dice with your children in a one-hour interview. And one of the things we do at the Law Office of Brian Cochran is we make sure you're ready for that. We don't just send you out to family court services. I sit down personally with each client and talk to them about the history of it, how it works, and how best to present themselves so that they get the information that's necessary out to the family court services officer. And also what we do is we make sure that they sort of take notes of what happened in case the mediation doesn't go well. Then we were able to address that back to the court and to the judge, who is the final arbiter of what's going to happen.
So there's no way to avoid that at all? I mean, even if you guys go to mediation and mediation is like all
well,
you want to do? Or?
Like I said, back in the 80s, it didn't even exist. And
right.
then we here in San Diego developed it. And it became statewide, an old civil code and now family code section that mandates that every person has to go to mediation prior to the time they go see a judge, in the absence of an emergency like child stealing. So what that means in different counties is 58 different things with 58 different counties. If you were in Yolo County, they would basically on the day of the hearing say, oh, well, we have a custody issue. We're going to send you over to this psychologist we have a contract with. Go talk to them and see if you can work something out. In the larger counties like Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego, we actually have a government division of the County of San Diego that handles it. But even each of those government divisions work differently from county to county. San Diego is just the most draconian in my estimation because it's a recommending county. Previously, I've even recommended state legislation to people to pass that we would not be a recommending county, that all counties would do the mediation. You go in there and you try to work it out. But if you can't work it out, you have your day in court. Now it's such that frankly, by the time you get to court, if there's a strong recommendation against your client or your position is apparent, then you're really fighting an uphill battle. And the only way to avoid the standard mediation is if you want to hire a private mediator. We do have those. Mostly they're psychologists. But that can be expensive. You're talking about something that will often run $3,000 or $4,000 outside the system.
Really?
Yeah.
It just seems kind of strange that, you know, you can't. I mean, there's no way to avoid that whatsoever. I just think that there'd be...
If there is any kind of dispute between the parents, it has to go to mediation.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if the parents don't have the dispute, I mean, they agree on whatever the schedule is, that's an entirely different situation. But whether the dispute is where the child's going to live or whether the child's going to move or whether the child's going to be here for 3 days a week or 2 days a week, whatever the dispute is, it has to go through the mediation. And frankly, to my estimation, it creates a bigger problem for most San Diegans than we think of because everybody goes through it. It's not like Child Protective Services where there has to be an allegation of criminal behavior. Everybody goes through this, and it's not a pleasant situation. I mean, it's probably the worst part of family law.
How long does that take?
Well, the mediation, like I said, can take 5 to 6 weeks to get into it, and the mediation itself only lasts about an hour to an hour and a half. They show you a video, and then they sit you down in a room, and they try to basically